Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Fly Conversation. I am Annette Johnson, your host and the Fly Coach, and welcome to the show this evening. I'm looking forward to speaking with my guest tonight. I have a great show lined up for you. I host this show to inspire women to create the life that they desire. And so my guests are women's empowerment advocates, and we share our passion for helping women to create the life that they desire. So I'm really, really excited to have my guest on the show tonight. I have a new schedule this year. Fly Conversation has moved to the second Sunday of each month from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m., and that's Eastern Standard Time. And I have some great shows lined up for you this year. But before I introduce my special guest for tonight, I want to acknowledge the fact that this is Black History Month, and I want to share a Black History moment. Did some research and came across Hattie McDaniel. I'm sure you remember Hattie McDaniel from Gone with the Wind. She became the first African-American woman on the radio in 1925. In 1934, she appeared on screen for the first time in a movie called Judge Priest. In 1939, she landed the role of Mammy in Gone with the Wind. She was highly criticized for her role. As you can imagine, with some of the shows that are on today, some of the reality TV shows, a lot of people go under fire for some of the roles that they play. And she experienced the same thing back in 1939. However, she went on to be the first African-American woman to win an Academy Award. Unfortunately, we lost her at a young age. In 1952, she died of cancer. But in 1975, she was inducted to the Black Filmmakers Hall of Fame. So I was really intrigued by her background, being the first woman on the radio, and just found her story to be very interesting. So tonight, my special guest is Lena Cohen. She is a mentor and a coach. She's a women's empowerment advocate. She's graduating this May from Kane College with her master's in human services and life coaching. She grew up in Camden, New Jersey. She is the founder of YourBeautifulHoney.com, and she works at CBS, the Inside Edition. She's a community ambassador for Boys and Girls Club, and she helps women to get to their happy place. Her favorite quote is, "We make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give," which is by Winston Churchill. You can learn more about her on YourBeautifulHoney.com, and I welcome now to the show Lena Cohen. Lena, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Welcome to Fly Conversation.
Thank you so much. I just want to say I truly, truly appreciate you seeing something in me and giving me an opportunity to share my life, my story, and some of what I like to call the nuggets of life with your audience. So it's an honor and a privilege to be on with you tonight.
Thank you. Thank you. I was so excited when we finally confirmed you for the show. And I'm really, really excited to be able to share you with my listeners, and I can't wait for them to hear about your journey and the work that you're doing in terms of being a women's empowerment advocate. It's something that's near and dear to my heart. You're the perfect guest for my show because the work that you do and how you have continued to move forward in your life to pursue your career aspirations, despite some of the roadblocks that may have occurred in your life, is what I'm trying to do with the community of women. My motto is fly, forgive and love yourself. So things happen, things get in the way of life, but mm-hmm. I really, my message is for women to, you know, dust themselves off and not let those things stop them from creating the life that they desire. So I talked a little bit about your bio, but I want you to share, what is it that you want people to know about you?
Well, I think first and foremost, I would like them to know that I am just a small town girl from Camden, New Jersey. And for those who may not know about Camden, it has been rated the nation's most violent, most impoverished. I mean, anything that could be bad, Camden has won the number one spot for. And I say that to let people know that your past doesn't make up who you are. You know, I don't have a perfect past, and I don't think any of us do. And that hasn't stopped me from being able to achieve my dreams. I mean, I love the path that I took because it was made perfectly for me. And it allowed me to create a circle of very, very diverse people. As a young life coach, people always ask me, you know, well, what do you have to offer? Or, you know, what can you bring to the table? And I let them know that I have the best of both worlds. I can relate to those who grew up in the city, who may have lived in a one-parent household, who struggled on state support or who didn't have the best education. And I also relate to those who, you know, who were college graduates and who may be looking to transition and, you know, work at big corporations. And that's all to say that, you know, our path is destined for us. If I hadn't been through or grew up in Camden, I wouldn't be the strong woman that I am today. So it allows me to relate to women on a deeper level. And then the education gives me, you know, the opportunities to help them in the very best way that I can.
You know, we share so many things in common. I grew up, born and raised in Newark, New Jersey, single mom. My father died when I was 9, and my mom had 8 kids. So I've certainly seen my share of struggles. And it's funny because I travel all over the world, and when people ask me where I'm from, I'll say, oh, New Jersey. And they'll say, oh, well, we're in New Jersey. And when I say Newark, it's almost like they clutch their heart. Like,
the whole attitude changes, right?
You're from Newark, you poor soul, you.
I know.
Because Newark has such a negative, you know, reputation. Unfortunately, you know, the media doesn't cover our rich culture and the rich history that this city has. And the people who are raising their families and getting educations and, you know, the parents who are sending their children off to Ivy League schools and getting good educations, they don't share that part. They only share, you know,
so
the crime and the poverty.
And there are so many brilliant organizations that come out of Camden and that come out of, you know, cities like Newark or Patterson.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, like you said, we don't get the coverage, but it's from the grassroots up, you know. We're it's people like you and I who are committed to our community, which, you know, make the difference.
So I know you're graduating in May. Congratulations to you. Your
Thank
master's
you.
In human services and life coaching. What are your career goals after you graduate?
Well, I'm currently working with some women's organizations and bringing some workshops to them. So I just want to kick it up a notch and work with some more organizations. My whole company is about mind, body, soul. So I want to kind of touch on fitness a little more and health, because without health, you can't enjoy any of the other fruits of life. So I'm expanding my business that way. And I just want to continue doing my workshops and getting speaking engagements to kind of, you know, get your beautiful honey out there. It has grown tremendously in the past 2 years, but the more work that I do, the more women are impacted, and that's the goal, to reach more and to teach more. And if I can do that, I'm happy. If I can change one life, I've committed to my goal for the year.
Well, I love the name of your company, Your Beautiful Honey. Please tell listeners about your company and how you came to that name and how you came to just creating the company.
Well, I had actually been working with and associated with the Boys and Girls Club for over 14 years. And I have been mentoring kids and teens, and I really did love it. And a few years ago, a friend of mine, we came up with this group called Natural Hair Honeys, and it was just a way for women to have a community, to feel safe, to talk about the struggles of being a natural girl. And shortly thereafter that, I lost a really good friend of mine who I had known since I was 6. and she died of a drug overdose. And I was so hurt that someone so close to me could have been hurting in this kind of way, and I didn't know. So I felt like, man, I left Camden, you know, I had still been doing community service work, but I went on to graduate. I got a job at, you know, I got an internship with CBS, and I remained there to today. I felt like I wasn't doing enough. You know, like I felt this calling on my life that although I was working with kids and teens, that women is where I needed to start putting my focus. And I looked at all the things that I felt that she could have needed, you know, self-esteem, a support system, you know, learning how to love yourself and learning how to take care of your body. And I said, you know what, I'm going to do this for her, and not just her, but for all the other women out there who don't know how beautiful they are spiritually, who don't know how beautiful everything that they have to offer. So I turned to You're Beautiful, Honey, because I want every woman to feel that. I want, you know, sometimes when I say I commit to giving compliments, you wouldn't believe how many women haven't heard that in a day, in a week, in a year, for someone to tell them that they're beautiful. And when I give them my card, the looks on their faces and the way they look back up at me, they feel it, you know, and that means everything in the world to me. So it stuck, it felt good, it made other women feel good, and that's how it started, you know. And I hope this, you know, I just always pray that she's looking down on me and just, you know, that she's proud and that I could potentially save some more lives.
Well, she's your angel. So she is your angel, and she is guiding you along this journey. You better believe it. And how wonderful it is it for you to honor her in such a special way. And, you know, the whole beauty thing and how women see beauty is just, it's a very, very interesting topic. I love the work that that Dove does. I'm not sure if you're familiar with the Dove campaign, the work that they do around self-confidence and, you know, appreciating your natural beauty. And it's just amazing when you look at the statistics. I think, and I hope I'm not misquoting, but it's something like 80% of women don't believe that they're beautiful.
Well, how can we, when all of the propaganda makes us feel that everything we see on the radio, everything we see on television, everything we hear on the radio, everything we see in music videos doesn't look like us. It just doesn't. Yeah. And no matter what you look like, 9 out of 10 times, that image that they're forcing down our throats of what beauty is doesn't look like us.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm a late bloomer. I mean, I'm 54. I just started my women's empowerment work over the past few years. And, you know, I struggled with my image. You know, I was tall. I was always the tallest person in my class. I'm 5'10". I was very, very thin. And it's ironic because now I wish I could get back to that size. I'm like, how could I have not appreciated being thin? I could kick myself for that. But you know, as a teenager and in my 20s, and I struggled with that. And then once I had children and my body started changing, the struggle just continued. But I've heard older women say, more mature women say, that things change when you hit your 50s. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, it does. And it's for the first time in my life, I look in the mirror and I smile because I see my God-given beauty. I see my God-given gifts and talent. And I don't want to waste another minute not being grateful for everything that he has given me and for the woman that he has shaped me to be. So I am grateful and I appreciate it every day.
And I think that as you get older, you know, you recognize, and what I try to teach my women is that beauty is only skin deep. You start to recognize who you are as a person and all you have to give, and you say, wow, you know, I know that in my family, people come to me for this, or my friends come to me for that, or, you know, I know that at my job, I'm great at doing this. And you start looking at all these attributes, and you're like, wow, I'm a great person. And, you know, some of my exercises, I say, you know, write down all the things that you like about yourself that has nothing to do with your physical beauty. And when you start looking at that list, you start feeling really, really good about yourself. And then you start to understand that, you know, my energy, who I am as a person, this is what truly matters, and this is what's beautiful about me. And that's, you know, that's the goal for me and this company is, you know, not only recognizing your beauty on the outside, no matter what it is, but recognizing your beauty on the inside and what you bring to this world. You have a purpose. We all have a purpose here. And we should all be striving to find out what that purpose is and to fill our destinies because, you know, that right there is the key to happiness. If I could do this work for the rest of my life, I'd be happy. I mean, I could care less about, you know, having millions and millions of dollars or anything like that because this fulfills me. It gives me life.
Yeah, and I so get that. I so get that. When I leave the organizations that I work with, I put together in-house workshops and conferences for them, and try to bring people like yourself to their organizations. I just really love making these women feel special. And I know, you know, these are nonprofit organizations, and you know, the budgets are tight, and we're living in a stressful economy. And so I enjoy being able to take my 25-plus years of corporate experience, because that's what I do, and my full-time job is training and developing programs. I love taking that into their organizations and giving them that experience for free. And a lot of people that I know in this space look at me like I'm crazy because the average person's not doing anything for free today, you know?
Of course,
It's
of course.
let alone a 2.5 or 3 hour workshop and all the hours that go into putting the materials together. But
Oh, I know.
I believe to whom much is given, much is required. And I've been given a lot in my life. And so I don't even think twice about it. And the reward of seeing eyes looking back at you with a sparkle or a tear because you have said something to them or they have connected with themselves in a special way
It's priceless.
is worth any dollar that you can ever give me.
It's priceless. I mean, one of the programs that I'm running right now with this nonprofit organization, of course, their budget, you know, is tight, just like you were saying. And you know, I do it because I love it. And one of the women said to me this past Saturday, she said, "Lena, you know, some of the activities you gave me, you know, I did them and I committed to them." And she said, "You know what? I didn't just see a change in myself, but I saw a change in my kids. My kids were happier. You know, they were coming up to me and they were just excited." And she was like, "I had never seen my kids like that." And she realized that some of the things that she was doing was projecting it onto her kids. And as she was telling me the story, you know, I was getting emotional because I'm like, this is why I'm here.
This is why you do
This
it.
is this is this is why I do it. And you know, at that moment, you know, I could care less. I'm not quote unquote thinking about a paycheck at that moment. You know, I'm just happy that, you know, the fruits of my work, you know, comes to fruition in that moment.
Yeah, it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And you know, and I know you do this work too, and I talk a lot about creating a vision and a mission and a strategic action plan with the women that I work with. And a lot of times the question is, you know, well, how do you know, what your purpose is in life, or how do you know what you're passionate about? And I want to ask you that question. When did you discover that your passion was to be a women's empowerment advocate? Was there a defining moment that just kind of sealed it for you?
I would say, besides my girlfriend passing, I would definitely say when I started with this other organization called Head Ladies in Charge. And after I did like a web series with them, and then they featured me in a book alongside some amazing women. But when I started to get the testimonials back of people pouring into my inbox, and the women were being so honest, and they were being so, I mean, they were just pouring their hearts out about, you know, how so much of my story resonated with them, and how, as we were talking before about being in a dark place, when people are in a dark place, it's so hard to see the other side. It's so hard to recognize those glimpses of light. And when I kind of realized that I was that light, it was almost like an addiction to me. You know, I wanted to be that. I wanted to be that light for so many women who were in situations like I was. And, you know, I remember losing 5 people in 1 year, 3 family members and 2 friends. And when you talk about a test of your faith, you know, you get so angry with God and you're so upset with him. You're like, these are people that I love and these are people that I care about. How could you take them from me? And when my grandfather died, who was the last person, he was like my father, because my father had never been around. I didn't grow up with my father, so he was my father. That was it for me. I remember being in my room for weeks at a time, and when I would come out, people were like, you were here, but you weren't here. Like, physically you were here, but there was nothing about you, about your presence that felt here. And I remember being in those dark places. And when I share stories like that and then people see how I've come out of that, it does something, you know. And I feel like, how can I hold all of this in and not give it back? How could I have found a way to get out the darkness and not share it with someone else who was in the darkness? So I think when I started getting those testimonials that day, I felt a conviction to continue to do it and take it on more seriously and really fight for it as a business and say, I know that I can reach a greater number of people.
You know, I think your story is so powerful, and thank you for sharing that, because a lot of times, you know, if I wasn't in this space doing this type of work, I could look at your profile on your website page and think you've never had a care in the world, because you're beautiful, you're bright, you have this wonderful smile, this positive energy. And so I might assume she didn't know anything about struggles. She didn't know anything about loss. And so you sharing that, I think, in and of itself is empowering for women, because the women that we work with, a lot of times, they've been to hell and back. They have experienced so much devastation and so much loss. And for me to know, to be able, so for me personally, to be able to see you on the other side of those struggles is the best empowerment pill you can ever take. Because what it says to me is, oh, wow, I can make it. I can get through this.
This is true.
And I can get through this.
And these women can. I mean, I have come to a place where I've owned a lot of the things that happened to me. And when you say, you know, on the outside, you know, you're pretty and you have this and you have that and you just have this glow, I've been in a place where I've had to keep up that Lena so people didn't know what was going on with the Lena behind closed doors. You know, I was so embarrassed at a time where I had allowed myself to be in a relationship with someone who was abusing alcohol. And this was shortly after, like I said, I had 5 deaths. And I was just in a dark place. And I think when you're in a place where you don't care about your life, everything else kind of trickles down, you know. And I was just dating this guy, and I knew better. And I knew better. And I knew he had a drinking problem. And I knew that he had been physically abusive with his ex-girlfriend. But I kind of just didn't care. And I went on, and, you know, you know, an argument turns into a push, turns into a shove, turns into a grip, turns into a smack, and then, you know, next thing you know, you're in an all-out brawl. And, you know, I would look at myself in the mirror and just say, how did I get to this place? And not only how, but now I have to walk out my apartment door and act as if everything is okay. I have to go back
as
to
if
being
what you
that
went through
girl
didn't happen.
That everyone thinks I am, you know? And
mm-hmm.
I think, you know, that was one of the hardest things to do, because people do have an expectation of who you are and what you've been through. And, you know, just carrying that alone can be difficult. So I love, just like you said, when people ask me where I'm from, I love to let people think for a while that they know who I am and that they have
mm-hmm.
me all figured out.
mm-hmm,
And
mm-hmm.
then when I open my mouth, they're like, oh, wow, okay, I understand, okay.
Exactly. And you know, I'm sure you know this, working with the women that we work with, transparency is very important.
Very important.
And I'm not saying that you have to tell every detail of your life, but like I said, more than words, more than an exercise that you can go through, when you're transparent and you share a piece of your most intimate and personal self with someone so that they can understand and they can see that who you are on the other side of that struggle, it's so invaluable. It's so invaluable from my perspective anyway. And so I'm so happy that, you know, you're sharing parts of yourself with listeners tonight, because I just think that goes such a long way, because, especially with women. You know, we feel compelled to cover up. We feel mm-hmm. compelled to, you know, have that external image that says, yeah, we have it all together. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
we look great and we don't have any images and we're dying
Superwoman.
On the inside.
Superwoman. We have the S on our chest. And,
yes.
And it's like when we walk out the door, we want to put the S on our chest and act like everything
mm-hmm.
is okay.
It's okay.
And the important thing about working with these women is letting them know it's okay to reach out for help. If I
mm-hmm.
hadn't reached out for help to someone and said, you know what, I want to be out of this situation, I don't know where I would be. I don't know where I would be. And so often we're taught that getting help, getting a coach, having therapy is a bad thing,
mm-hmm.
like you're crazy
yeah.
or it's an awful thing to need help. You needed a teacher, you needed parents, you needed mentors when you were young. And now as an adult, you're 21 and you're hit with life, and all of a sudden you don't need a coach anymore, you don't need a mentor
mm-hmm.
anymore. Now you're carrying your kids, you're carrying your job, you know, you're carrying trying to take care of your mom or your dad, you know, you're carrying your husband, you're carrying
mm-hmm.
all this stuff on your back, but you have nobody that to reach out to. You know, that's one of the things that I try to make very clear to women. It does not make you weak. It does not make you any less of a woman to reach out for help.
No.
It's so imperative that you not take this journey by yourself.
And it's one of the smartest things you can do, and it's one of the greatest gifts that you can give yourself. It's one of the greatest gifts because, you know, my whole focus is going inward, because I don't care what you do externally to make yourself look good or feel good.
Mm-hmm.
Until you do the internal work and come face to face with your real self and address
mm-hmm.
your demons and all those issues and that self-talk and all the experiences and everything that you've gone through, because we internalize all that stuff. Now, think about it. If we're not talking to anybody and we're not sharing it with anybody, where is it going? We're internalizing
it. You will not be
yeah.
free.
Yeah.
You will not be free.
So we internalize all that stuff. And so my focus is going inward. I love doing the inward work, because that's what got me to where I am today. And I'm not there, quote unquote, because I'm working on myself every day. You know, there are times where things happen and it just brings me to a halt. And
mm-hmm.
I have to kind of recollect myself.
Well,
I have to get on my knees.
It's a journey. I tell these women in my workshop, you know, you're going to be here for 6 weeks. You know, you're going to be here
mm-hmm.
for 6 weeks. Everything is not going to be perfect at the end of the 6 weeks. These tools,
right.
these skills, these activities I give you, they are life skills. That means
mm-hmm.
for life. I still have to tell myself every day certain affirmations. I still have to create goals for myself every 6 months or every year. All of this, I tell them, I take this journey with you. I am not past. I am not above you. We are on the same level. These same activities and these all of these life skills that I'm giving you are things that I continue to do. And we should always be striving to be better. There's no end. You know, our potential is so great. You know, we are so blessed in who we are, and we don't even know it. So
yeah, you're so right.
I totally understand you. I get in my mood some days where I'm like, can I do this? Wait, I know I can do it. Okay, all right, let me go back to my affirmation. My affirmation of the year is I am sufficient. I am sufficient. I already have the tools that I need. I am already blessed. It is already success. I have to do that. And people may look and think that, you know, she's already successful. Or she already has, you know, achieved such greatness. But I do these things on a consistent basis. Like you said, it's a journey. We are still growing. We are still learning.
So share a little bit about, because, you know, you talked about you lost five people who were very important and close to in 1 year. And then you were in the unhealthy relationship. Can you share, like, what did you do to keep yourself moving forward and not allow those things to keep you stuck in the space that you are in?
Okay. That is a question a lot of people ask me. And it is going to be in my upcoming book called Yes. I'll give you guys a little tidbit. I don't do this for everyone. But,
Thank you.
It's something I developed called stop, drop, and roll. So stop, drop, and roll, get out of the fire and get on with your life. And stop is, I had to stop procrastinating and create a sense of urgency in my life. At the time, I had to leave the apartment that I was at with my boyfriend at the time, and I was kind of like, you know, on my girlfriend's couch, day in, day out. I was going to work when I wanted to, when I felt like it. And, you know, things kind of just halted for me, and I was just in this fog. So, you know, I had to really stop and really say, what do I want for myself? Stop procrastinating. I created a sense of urgency in myself. I looked at things that I wanted to do in a certain amount of time, and I got to work, you know, stop procrastinating, get it done. I set some goals for myself, and I said, you know, this is when I started doing vision boards and really kind of dreaming and saying, okay, what do I want my life to be like? Okay, now what do I have to do to get there? Let me put this in priority and start getting to work. You know, oftentimes we know what we have to do, we're just not doing it. Drop the negative people, places, and things that are hindering you from your destiny.
Oh, say that again.
Oh, yes, I will, because that's the hardest one for people to do. Drop the people, places, and things that are hindering you from your destiny. This one is the hardest because, number one, people. There's emotional connection to the relationship that we have with people. And it's hard to be with someone or have someone in your life for years at a time and then wake up and say, I no longer need you in my life, or I no longer want you in my life because of the energy that you bring to me. That's very difficult. I have lost a lot of friends. I do not associate with a lot of the people who I may have associated with in Camden. I may love them dearly, but I heard this from Lucinda Cross one day. She said, your life is like a stage. Only a certain amount of people can sit in the front row. They can be in the audience, but that doesn't mean they have to be in the front row. So you have to figure out who is giving you, who is encouraging you, who is pushing you. My boyfriend always likes to say, have pushers, not pullers in your life. Have people who are going to say,
a tweetable. Wait, that's a tweetable moment. Pushers, not pullers.
Not pullers.
I love that.
Yes. You know, you want people around you that are going to make you laugh, that are going to make you feel good, that are going to tell you you're beautiful. I don't have any problem with knowing I'm beautiful because he tells me I'm beautiful every single day. Every single day.
Wow, that is awesome.
I have no problem
with
that. So you, and it's hard because, you know, even me and my mother have a very tumultuous relationship. And that's supposed to be the cornerstone of my life, right? Your mom. Mm-hmm. And that's one that I struggle with because I know in some instances, if I share some of the things that I have achieved, I may be expecting a certain level of motherness from her, and if I don't get it, I'm disappointed. So I'm not saying get rid of the negative people, because some people you can get rid of. If it's a coworker that's mm-hmm. bothering you, you're there to work. Do your job.
It depends on how vested you are, right?
Yeah, it depends on how vested you are. If you can feed some people with a long handle spoon, then do that. Places, when I say people, places and things. I don't hang out where I used to hang out. If it doesn't benefit my life, I'm not doing it. I used to hang out in the malls. That's not beneficial to my bank account. clubs and, going out or doing certain things. If it's not beneficial to my life, if it's not a workshop where I'm learning, if it's not a vacation where I'm going to relax or de-stress, or if it's not something that's going to add benefit to my life, then I don't take part in it, in things. This is a tough one, too, because we – am I preaching? I ain't coming
to
preach today.
Yes, you are. I was getting ready to say, this is a mouthful right here, but go ahead.
I didn't come to preach today, but since I'm here, we all have vices. I watched my father, who smoked, had throat cancer, and will tell you today that it wasn't because of the cigarettes. It just contributed to the cancer. And after he was in remission and got better and we were all afraid and, he still smokes today. We all have vices, whether it's food. I am a big person. I am a big advocate of our health, because so many, especially in the inner cities and in our communities, mm-hmm. it is set up for us mm-hmm. not to eat right. It is set up for us to spend $2 on, four chicken wings. But if you want to get an organic orange, it's $3 or $4 per orange, So I'm a big advocate of treating our body right. So sometimes we have these things in our life, whether it's food, whether it's gambling, whether it's, smoking or drinking, mm-hmm. that's hindering us, and we're not acknowledging it. We're not acknowledging it. We could be so much better. Could you imagine what your life would be like? I'm just going to say, for anyone listening, could you imagine what your life would be like if you dropped all the negative people, places, and things in your life?
Well, I can tell you, for me, I'd have a lot of time on my hands. I would have a lot of time on my hands to get a lot of things accomplished. That's for me personal.
Well, I would say for everyone, pull out a list and you write those things down and you figure out a way to 2015 get rid of those things. And the last thing, stop, drop, and roll. And roll is being able to roll with the punches and having unwavering faith.
Yes.
I
love that.
Obviously, losing 5 people, being in an abusive relationship, and then ending up on my girlfriend's couch, it was pretty low. I'll just say that. It was pretty low. And when you talk about looking inside of yourself, usually during my workshops, I tell people, I say, repeat after me. I say, I am where I am because of the thoughts, decisions, and actions I made in the past.
Okay, wait, we got to pause. I'm sorry. I need you to say that again.
No worries. Okay.
I need you to say that again because
you need me to say
I
that
think
again?
What you just said, yes, what you just said is so powerful. I need you to say it again.
Okay, I'll say it again. So I am where I am because of the thoughts, actions, and decisions I made in my past. Mm-hmm. And when you can own that, and when you can have a sense of self-awareness, mm-hmm. it gives you the capability to own up to it and say, you know what, if I change those actions and I change those decisions from here on out, I can be a different person a year from now.
Mm-hmm.
So one of my goals at that time was to build my faith and my spiritual core. I accepted that some of the things that I did was my fault. I accepted that. And some of the things that happened, I had no control over losing five people in my life.
Right, right.
And I said, I'm going to build this relationship back up with God, and I'm going to build my spiritual core back up. And I tell people all the time, I don't care what you believe, Krishna, if you believe in Allah, Buddha. I mean, I have had friends from every walk of life.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't care what you believe. Just have something to believe in. Your
spiritual
core is going to be the difference between you believing in yourself and taking those leaps and bounds, just taking those leaps of faith and looking at something, and it may not look possible, and you saying, I can't do it. Because at the time, for me to go back to school, have the finances to get a degree, start working at a major television company, none of that looked possible to me at the time. But I needed my faith. I needed my spiritual core to be strong so that I could rely on something that I couldn't see. So how I got out of that? I stopped procrastinating. I dropped all the negativity in my life, and I was rolling with the punches. Because sometimes we can't control everything. Oftentimes we can't control everything that happens in our lives, but we can control how we react to things. And sometimes you just need to roll with the punches and have faith. So.
Okay, when is this book going to be available? Because I can't wait to get my copy. So when is it coming out? When can we expect it?
I'm hoping to get it out by December so people can have Christmas gifts and be able to share it with everyone.
And you have an open invitation to come back on my show and promote your book. So when you're ready, call me and let me know, and I will reserve a second Sunday. I air once a month, second Sunday, 7 to 8 p.m., and you just let me know because I will be waiting with bated breath to hear more about this book.
Yes.
So
yes.
Just make note of that.
It breaks it down. You know, when we talk about stop procrastinating, that can mean one thing to one person and another thing to another. It could be fear. It could be self-doubt. It could be, you know, there's a lot of reasons why.
Low self-esteem.
It could be, you know, finances or whatever it is. So the book really does break it down for, you know, each one of it reaches out to each one of those people who could be in different positions or in all of those positions. Because when you have low self-esteem, you feel all of those things at one time. You know, it's like, man, I don't think I can do it. I don't have the education to do it. I don't have the money to do it. I don't have the time to do it. You know, all of those things snowball. And you're like, how am I going to handle this?
Right,
so it's definitely going to be a good read to get out of the fire and get on with your life.
Well, I consider myself to be a super connector. So one of the things I love, love, love to do is to connect women who can help each other achieve their goals. So anything that I can do to help you to promote your book through my social media, through my website, coming back on the show, that's an open invitation, and just let me know what I can do to help you.
Oh, that's beautiful. Thank you so much. I greatly appreciate that. I really do.
So one of the things I discovered when I was looking on your website, I believe, is this idea of a vision party, and I'm very intrigued by that. So can you describe what is a vision party, and how can I have one?
Well, a vision party is... like I said before, when I really wanted to get out of my quote-unquote rut that I was in, it gives you an opportunity to dream again. You know, we get together, you know, whether it's 10 or 15 women, and it gives you the opportunity to kind of say, if I could have a perfect life, what would that entail? And it gives you a chance to turn it into something tangible, something that you can look at that will keep you motivated, that will inspire you. So, you know, we get these big boards, and or they could mm-hmm. be, you know, we have some that are the thick kinds and some are the thin kinds, if you want to, like, put it in a poster board cover and hang it up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But we cut stuff out of a magazine, and we put stuff about if you want to put stuff about your kids, your health, your career, your romantic life, your relationships, mm-hmm. your family, whatever it is, and you put the pictures up on the board, and it gives you something to hope for. I think that when I talk about being in a dark place and wanting light, sometimes you need to have something that gives you that little boost, you know? And
right.
I think having the vision board in front of you, or, you know, if you want to hang it up on your wall or put it in your office or something like that, it gives you a constant reminder of why you're doing what you're doing. Because when you want to become an entrepreneur, or when you want to go to school, or when you're raising your kids, you get to these moments where it's hard. It's going to be hard. Nobody said it was going to be easy. But looking at the vision board and saying, you know what, I would love to have a house like this, or I would love for my kids to go to private school, or I would love to be a best-selling author, or I would love to, you know, accomplish this fitness goal, or, you know, I would love to be able to have, you know, a car like this or whatever. It, mm-hmm. it gives you the motivation to keep pushing and to keep going and remember why you're doing the things that you're doing. And sometimes it's hard to see those things when you're in a current position that doesn't reflect that.
Right.
So that's what vision parties are. And, of course, you know, we always talk about how we get there and talk about goals and stuff like that. So it's fun, it's creative, and it gets people dreaming again.
Well, I will definitely be following up with you about a vision party, because I think that is fabulous, and especially this time of the year. I mean, I think it's good any time, but, you know, the beginning of the year is a time where, you know, you can reflect and look back over the past year. You know, what went well? What would you have done differently? What are you not so mm-hmm. satisfied with? And use that new year as an opportunity for a new beginning and set some new intentions. So I definitely want
to
follow up with you.
And you have to know where you're going. How can you just pick up and decide you're going somewhere if you don't know where the end destination is? You mm-hmm. can say, you know, whatever your goal is, you have to have a vision for it. And then once you come up with your vision, then you can come up with your goals. Then you can come up with accountability strategies. Then you can come up with different things that are going to help you get there. But you have to see it first.
Yes. Yes, I believe that. I believe that wholeheartedly. What would you say is your greatest lesson that you've learned in life so far?
For me, it is staying in tune spiritually. Mm. I was just having a conversation with someone the other day, and they actually, and we were having this conversation about having faith and trusting in God's promises and mm. having discernment and, you know, taking the risks. And my girlfriends always say, Lena, you know, you're the only one I know that would jump out of an airplane without a parachute. Well, when your faith is so strong, you know that something is going to happen on the way down and you're going to land safely. Mm. But what I noticed is, and it was explained to me in such a simple way, and you're like, that makes so much sense. It's kind of like, you know, radio frequencies, right? Mm-hmm. When they're not in line or they're off, it's just when you're driving too far away from the signal, it starts mm-hmm. to get static. Can't really hear it. It's now it sounds like, you know, crumbling paper. And the farther you go from the frequency, the mm-hmm. harder it is to hear. But when mm-hmm. everything is in tune and you're really, really close, it's clear as a bell. And I think that when my spirituality, when I am in line with God, and when I am in prayer, and when I'm reading the Word, and when I'm in meditation, and when I'm writing in my journal, and when I'm always in His face, is where mm-hmm. He sends me divine alignments like yourself. It's when, you know, people just call out the blue and say, "Hey, can I help you with this?" You know, when I'm trying to make tough life decisions, things will come to me clear as a bell. So for me, that's what really keeps me in tune, and that's where I feel like I learned my greatest lesson, is I have to be right here, because if I start to stray, if I start to go too far, things start to crumble.
I totally get that. And it's being centered. You know, it's knowing where your center is, first of all. And because if you don't know where your center is, then you don't know that you're you're off balance. You don't know that you're missing something, or that you're that you're out of it. So really knowing your center. I used to be terrified to fly, was afraid to fly. Wound up in this position where that's all I do now is fly. I mean, I probably fly about 50, 60,000 miles a year. And I just came back from a trip on business, and I'm on the plane, and I was listening to my music, and one of my favorite gospel songs came up in the shuffle. You know how you just hit the shuffle and it just plays the different songs. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking out the window, and I'm like, okay, I'm 30,000 feet in the air, and I'm up above the clouds. And the tears just started flowing. And it was like, I didn't even, like, it just came. It was like one of those things that just, like, came out of nowhere. And the flight attendant was like, "Oh, can I get you anything? Do you need anything?" And it wasn't like I was distressed or upset, but I just, in that moment, realized God's got me.
Yeah.
He's got me. I'm 30,000 feet in the air.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm 30,000 feet in the air. I'm above the clouds. And I am right now in the palm of His hands.
When you reach that level of peace, when you finally tap into that, you don't want to be far away from it.
No.
Because you're not.
I can't.
I live by Jeremiah 29:11. And
okay, stop. We're related. We're related.
I
we
do.
We just have too many things in common.
I live by that, and every time I see it, I feel like
I know the plans I have for you.
And they are not to harm you.
And they are not to harm you. What? That
but
is my
lifeline.
But to
and give you hope for a future. I know that He's winking at me every time I see that somewhere. And when you reach that level of peace where you can fully say, you know, to be honest, this is not to, like, you know, sound, because it took me a long time to get here, trust me, but I'm not really worried about too much. I am blessed beyond belief to be in a place of peace, and I have only been able to achieve that by remaining centered and keeping a strong spiritual core.
Wow. I mean, I told you this is the fastest hour of my life. I'm down to like just under 7 minutes, and I feel like I am just getting started. We are connected for a reason, and I'm so, so grateful that we're connected, because I look forward to collaborating with you on things in the future. But before I wrap up the show, I need to ask you, there's two questions that I definitely want to make sure I get in. And one is, what does self-love mean to you?
I think it kind of goes back to what I was talking about earlier, and it's understanding that there's nothing wrong with taking care of you first. Oftentimes, society, I think, makes women feel guilty for wanting to take care of their self first, especially when they have a family. But we have to let go of that, because if you're not your best self, how can you be the best mom you can be, or the best wife you can be, or, you know, the best sister, the best aunt, the best cousin? If you don't take care of yourself first, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, and physically, then you're no good for anyone else. And I think loving yourself is having the confidence and the commitment to take care of you. And I know that's hard for the women who have families and they think that, you know, my children, my husband, that, you know, I understand it. But, you know, when you are mentally clear, emotionally stable, and physically well, then you will be even better for everyone else in your life. So I think self-love is really understanding that it's okay. It's okay to take care of you first and to love on you and to take that 20 minutes a day or to go ahead and get that manicure or that pedicure on your way home from work. It's okay. Nobody won't know. The world won't end. Love on yourself.
And speak life to yourself. You know, that negative self-talk that we have can really, really be a derailer because we believe what we tell ourselves. And so, you know, in addition to the physical things, you know, those are great, and we love pampering ourselves. But I say that the big struggle is what we tell ourselves, that self-talk when we're alone, when we have a quiet moment. What are we feeding to our souls?
And that's why, you know, a part of getting there is affirmations. You know, I give the women in my workshop stickies, and I say, I don't care. You put them on your desk. You put them on your wall. You put them on the mirror. You put them on the door before you go out. And I want you to write all of your affirmations on there. I am sufficient. I am beautiful. I am able to handle whatever comes to me today. I am filled with greatness. And the more you tell yourself that, I always say that negative thoughts can't live in a positive mind. So the more that you tell yourself you're great, the less that, you know, those negative thoughts will you know, have power over the positive thoughts, you know. You know, we have to make a choice. I tell people every day I wake up and I make a choice to have a good day. I make a choice to be happy. And and that's my prerogative. I can do that. If you know, if I get a flat tire, it's okay. Thank God I'm still alive. I'm here, and I have the resources to get a new one. You know,
guess what? That's the only way it's going to happen. You have to make a choice. Because
you
if
have
you
to
leave
make
it
a
up
choice.
To, yeah. If you leave it up to the day, I mean, by the time you're out of your house and you leave your block, something can come to snatch that from you. So you have to make a conscious choice to do that. We are down to just 3 minutes. I'm so disappointed. I don't want to stop talking.
I'll be back anytime you want me.
Yes, you have to come back. You have to come back on the show. Tell people how they can get in touch with you or how can they learn more about you.
Oh, my. You can go to my website, yourbeautifulhoney.com. It's YOURE, beautiful, and then honey, HONIE. They have to remember it's not honey like the honey pot, but honey like honey chow. yourbeautifulhoney.com. There's a contact page. All of my social media connects and my links are there. If you want to reach out to me on LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, or specifically contacts, I check that every day. So it's there.
Awesome, awesome, very good. And before I end the show, just want to do some quick advertisements. I'm on Life Coach Radio Networks, and the founder is Russ Terry. He's the CEO and founder of a Life Coach Radio Network that hosts about 70, 80 coaches right now that offer free life coaching through the various programs. And on February 9th at 8 o'clock p.m., we have Spiritually Speaking with Reverend Jen and Rebecca. On February 10th at 10 o'clock a.m., Happiness is Living with Love, Grace, and Gratitude with Life Coach Kusha Kyra. And then on February 11th at 8 p.m., we have Unveiling Leadership Through Sports Coaching with host Jim Howard. Now, you can go to our website, which is www.lifecoachradionetworkswithans.com. You can go to Meet the Coaches page, and you can see all of the coaches and the various programs they offer. Check out the website. You can see previously recorded shows and upcoming shows. And again, I'm the host of Fly Conversation, which is a women's empowerment talk show. My name is Annette Johnson. You can learn more about me on my website at www.theflycoach.com. I also am the author of a book called Fly, Forgive and Love Yourself, and you can purchase that on Amazon.com. Tonight, we have spent the past hour talking with Lena Cohen, who is a women's empowerment advocate. She has a book that's going to be coming out later this year. So please go to her website, learn more about her. She will definitely be coming back on Fly Conversation. I can't wait, Lena, for you to let us know when the book is published and available. And I want to just say to you again, thank you so much for being a guest on the show tonight. And we're connected, girlfriend.
We are connected.
And I can't wait to collaborate with you on some things in the future. So thanks again for being a guest on the show tonight.
Thank you so much for having me. I greatly appreciate it.
Thank you, Fly listeners. I don't take you for granted. Thank you for tuning into the show. I appreciate you so much, and I will see you second Sunday in March for another Fly Conversation. Good night, everybody.
Good night.